Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
Jesus is coming. Amen. That's a statement that outrages some, is welcomed by some, and has no effect on many. Who is Jesus? The answer to that question determines whether you welcome him, reject him, or are indifferent to him. Who is Jesus? Some say he is the Son of God. Some say he is the Messiah. Some say he's an itinerant rabbi from nowhere. Some say he is dangerous. Some say, Jesus, what is he to do with me? These are some of the common responses to the question, who is Jesus? But the question that is the greatest importance to you and I is, what do you do with Jesus? Do you make him your Lord and Savior? Or do you reject his right to your obedience? What happens when Jesus burst into your town? Burst into your life? Burst into your heart? What happens? Is the welcome mat out in your life? For Jesus. Let's go before him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you with everything that is within us, that we begin this portion of a holy week, that we can do so with the expectation that at the end of the week we will say, he is risen. We serve a risen Savior. We're so thankful for that, Father. And now, as we begin, would you, in your grace and mercy, speak to us in your voice, in the voice of love that transfers any kind of language we have to the junk heap. May we hear what you would have us say. Cast my words out. They're nothing. They're absolutely incapable of praising you the way you ought to be praised, of giving you the glory that you should have, that is your right. Father, if anything that I would say comes in the way of your speaking to each of us, overshadows your still small voice, then cast it out. For we wish to hear from you today. We ask these things. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Going to read what says in my Bible, the triumphant entry. Mark 11, 1 through 11. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethanage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied, which no one has set. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why do you do this thing? Say, the Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send them. So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside the street. And they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, what are you doing, loosening this coat? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let him go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Today, people from all over the world are experiencing Palm Sunday, some for the first time. Some know the story so well, but some are here for the first time. Some are in their church for the first time. They do not know that in 30 AD on Sunday, Jesus entered Jerusalem. He was on a mission for God. His arrival was planned. Indeed, everything that would happen in this beginning of the Holy Week had already been planned down to the smallest detail in times past. Two processions entered Jerusalem on that spring day. It was the beginning of Passover, and 2 million people had gathered to celebrate Passover. The death angel went over their houses in Egypt and did not visit them if the blood of the Lamb was over their doors. They celebrated the freedom that they had because the Lord set them free. And they remembered that, and they came from all over the world, and the population of Jerusalem swelled. Two processions couldn't be more different. The one was from a peasant in a peasant procession. The other an imperial procession. Jesus rode in on one side of town on the back of a donkey's colt. From the Mount of Olives. He was cheered by the crowds who along the way cried, Hosanna, which means in Hebrew, save us, save us, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, which refers to the Messiah, who they thought would bring them out of bondage to the Romans. On the other side of Jerusalem, a completely different kind of procession was taking place at the same time. Pilate had come from Caesarea by the sea. His presence was a demonstration of both Roman imperial power and Roman imperial theology. You see, Jesus came to proclaim the kingdom of God. Pilate came to proclaim the power of Rome. Imagine the imperial procession coming through the city gates. Must have been a visual and feast in and of itself. First thing you would have seen was Pilate himself coming on a golden chariot drawn by a group of horses that were all white and glittering in the sun. Behind him came the cavalry, and they were there, all riding on their horses, brilliant, sun glittering off of their swords and shields. Then came the foot soldiers, marching, 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 with the dust flying up around them. It was an interesting thing. Spurs, knives, swords, eagles on long poles, sun shining and glittering. Swirling dust, the beat of drums. The eyes of the onlookers, some look curious, some awed by the splendor of what they have seen, some resentful. All of them were calling out, "Hail Caesar!" To whom do you give yourself? To the power of Rome? Or to the power of God? There is nothing in Jesus that is crowd-pleasing. He's not a handsome man. He doesn't come with all the accoutrements of what they thought the Messiah would do. He comes out of a village where the people had said he is nowhere. That's a no place to be in Nazareth. You wouldn't be there, caught dead there. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? He is not the Messiah they had expected, longed for. He was not going to raise an army and beat back the Romans. It is not surprising that the same voices that called, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," would in just a very few days cry out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Those of his followers who walked beside him that day as he made his way into the temple would run and hide in just a few days. Jesus was on his way to the temple. That destinations of the two groups should tell you something. Pilate was on his way to the fortress of Antonio's fortress. Jesus was on his way to the temple. What are you on your way for? Are you on your way to peace and safety that you think you can build yourself with human hands? Are you there worried about whether or not the government will stay open or not? Are you concerned about whether or not your health will be managed quite like you would like it? Are you worried for something? Or do you give yourself everything you are, everything you have, to Jesus? Jesus tells us that we have free will. You know, God has given you free will, so you can do as you please. But you can't please God by doing certain things, by doing things your own way. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and the emperor of Rome at the same time. You can't sit on the fence. He didn't leave you that opportunity. You can't do that. Jesus wants to enter your life. He stands at the door and knocks. But he was not going to push the door in. He's not going to break in and force you to believe in him. He is simply going to stand at the door and knock and give you the opportunity to repent. Now, the word repent can have several different meanings. Repent, believe in the good news, Jesus says. These are challenging words. Because the word repent in Hebrew means to return from exile. What a wonderful thing that we can return from the exile that is self-imposed from the nature of God. to be able to walk away from the life that we once had and walk into the glory which is Christ Jesus. In the Greek, it means to go beyond the mind you have, to embark upon a new way of thinking. With the mind of Christ within you, you can think about things you never thought about before. You can see the world as you've never seen it before. You see the hurt in people's lives. You know how precious it is for life to have been given to us by God. The word believe doesn't simply mean, as we quite often try to force it into a little box, it doesn't mean that we accept all the doctrines, the teachings of men. It just means that the ancient word for belief is trust and commit. So we might see that to repent and believe the good news, you need to return from exile and go a new way in your thinking. You might say that you want to receive the message that Jesus brings because you have become a new creature with a mind, the heart, and the spirit of Christ. You must return to God, having exiled yourself from God through Jesus Christ, God's Son. That is the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. If you want to get out of exile, you have to come to God, and you have to come through Jesus Christ. Amen. What procession are you in today? Which do you want to be in? That is the message of Palm Sunday, and the question each of us must answer. Do you want the things of this world? Are you willing to give all that up for the things that God has promised? Are you going to save your life or lose it for Christ's sake? Those who save their lives, those who walk the walk under the power of the system, out of the power of the culture, under the power of everything that is anti-Christ, die. Those who give that up, give up all the things in order to hold on to the one thing that God gave us, His only Son, Jesus Christ, to cling to Him. It's a question you have to answer yourself. Will you look at Palm Sunday as a new beginning or not? Will you allow Jesus to come into your life or not? Will you welcome Him? Or will you reject Him? Or will you be indifferent to Him? You know, the problem with our country is that we have become an indifferent people. There are not so many that reject Jesus. There are many who say that they are Christians and walk a life that is not in keeping with His Word. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command? Why are we indifferent? These are questions we have to ponder. Awake from your indifference. Awake from your rejection and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He is trying to give Himself to you today. He wants you desperately. He wants each of us. He wants to give you the abundant life and life eternal. We're only in this world a short time. We're only here a very short time. And then we face the judgment. It is appointed every man to die but once. And then face the judgment. The problem that we do not understand is that we are all eternal beings. You're going to spend eternity away from God or eternity with God. Those are the two processions that you make. You make the one by going down the wide road, smooth road, that leads to perdition, or you make the other choice, the choice of following Jesus up the narrow road that leads to heaven. You have the choice. It's yours. Every day this week, something that God planned for the world takes place in Jesus' life. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Every single day. And on Sunday, He raises from the dead. You can be a part of those He raises. He wants you to be a part. You know, that's the wonderful thing. It's not just your choice. It's His. He wants you. He wants you to be a part of His kingdom. He wants you to be in His home. Jesus said when He left this world, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Jesus wants you to be there. He's preparing a place for you that may be vacant because you have been indifferent to Him. Jesus is coming back for all of us. He's coming back today. He is back at this very moment, all around the world, in the deathbeds of people in the hospitals and on the streets where they're dying. He's everywhere. He doesn't care if we're pretty or handsome or it doesn't matter to Him. He is coming for each of us. No matter what language you speak, no matter where you are in life, He's coming for you. Jesus. You know, we sang, "There's something in that name." Tears ran down my face when we sang it. Because I know Him, I want you to know Him too. Because He struggles with me from time to time, because I am not always obedient to God. And He struggles with me, and sometimes I get the stick instead of the carrot. I don't want you to ever feel what Christ felt, the stick against your back. By His stripes you have been healed. He loves you. He cares for you. How much? He cares for you this much. We'll close with this. I heard someone say in a testimony this very morning about how God had intervened in her life and taken the wheel of her vehicle that was swerving and sliding around on the ice, and she just let go of the wheel even though she was turning and spinning, and God made a way where there wasn't a way. Has God got the wheel of your life in His hands? He will make a way where there is no way.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.